Just before we start this podcast, I just want to have a message from one of our sponsors. One of our main sponsors is Apeiron Clothing, where you can get premium golf wear at discounted prices. Check out our website at www.apeiron-clothing.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark. As always, this is season 3, episode 8. Superb Scotty at the Players.
Hey, took the piss, didn't he?
He just got the job done, didn't he?
Targ used to say the best way to defend the lead is by increasing it. That's exactly what he done, wasn't it?
Just got hot through the middle, didn't he?
5 birdies in a row at the turn.
I know.
2 before, 3 after, or 3 before, 2 after, I can't remember, but...
Yeah, it was
Scotty too hotty.
I know,
is what we'll call it.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us around here picked them in our picks and expertly done.
Well done, sir. No, credit where credit's due. How did the other picks get on?
All good apart from what was me baddie, Nick Taylor, missed the cut,
and he was going all right as and well.
He was
under the weather.
He was under par.
It was the weather, and then he had to come back early Saturday morning, just couldn't get it back. I think he finished 5 over in the end, but he had a bit of a run, didn't he?
He had a good run. I think he got to 2 under. He was 4 under on the day or something, and he got to 2 under.
Yeah.
And then coming down, I think it was 18. So we played the back 9 first, coming down 18, put it in the water. Then on 12, I think he put it in the water, and he had 2 doubles. And then he just never recovered after that.
So since doing this, the return of the Fancy Golf League, we've had Patrick Cantlay place, Scotty Scheffler win, and Max Homer finish 6th, so he doesn't get the place, man.
I know.
Top 5 place, but right on the borderline. So to be fair, we've had 2 rounds of it. We've had a place, nearly 2 places, and a win. So
yeah,
it just shows that the statistics do play.
A couple of good, like, pot 4 picks. Like, my pot 4 this week was Will Gordon, which is your man from last week. And we said, I think last week we said, if he could sort his putting out and had a good putting week, that's why I was picking him, because he was good in driving and he was good in his approach category. So obviously must have had a good putting week, because he was 4 under at one point.
5 under through 2 rounds he was tied 6th going into the weekend. Obviously got the best of the weather on the Friday, because it was seriously windy in that afternoon, wasn't it? Obviously the rain came and they had to call it off, but... Yeah, Will Gordon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But we'll get on to the players in a minute. Any golf from yourself?
Well, we just went and had our pre-Portugal team picking exercise, didn't we? Peter's little range session.
Who won again? No, but you know what, David? Like, he wants to win. Like, he's obviously our coach, PJ Professional David Goscombe, with his stag do on the weekend, and we're going to Portugal playing 3 courses. We're playing, I think we've already said this, playing Victoria, Pinal, and Laguna. No, Victoria, the old course, and Laguna.
Yeah.
And we just had a little game on the simulator, and David was last to go on the first, I think it was like 140 yards or something, and he hit it to like 4 foot, and he won that one. And then the next two, I just wasn't getting caught, was I? Won the next 3 in a row, two closest to pins and longest drive.
Yeah, long drive's a bit unfair, isn't it? Yeah. You knock a 30 past everyone. It's because Hayden wasn't there to put you in your place.
Hayden would have done me that easily, but you know.
No, it was a good little exercise though, wasn't it, to get the teams picked, and
it was.
There's 10 of us going. We're doing a Stableford format. So we're playing, as Kev's mentioned there, 3 rounds of golf, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We've got 2 teams of 5. So we're doing a similar setup to what the American collegiate system done. So the 4 out of the 5 scores to count in Stableford.
The loser does I want them to do a shoey on the green, me.
Yeah, Cam Smith style.
Just get the bevy in the shoe and just nail it, yeah.
We'll be all right, though, because we've got some new shoes, thanks to our friends at Painter, haven't we?
Painter Golf, boss, them. Yeah. Smart, aren't they? I was having a little look at them. Dead, how light are they?
Very nice, yeah.
Can't wait to get them on and review them.
Yeah, definitely. They're nice modern shoe, aren't they? Like a shoe, but look, gives it that training look, that modern look.
They are proper smart.
They will go nice with our clothing, won't they? That's what we thought. So,
yeah,
but We're doing best four to count on the first for the three rounds of golf, and then obviously the team will win. But because we're all counting individual every day, we're going to do an individual knock for everyone, aren't we? So yeah. I look forward to it. Obviously, we're plenty of beers. We'll be drunk, and golf won't be as good as it can be, but it'll still be a good bit of fun.
Not if Dave's got anything to do with it. He does not want any of that happening, does he?
No.
He's hell-bent on it. But you know what? Like, I had a couple of pints and went to boxing after the footy on the weekend. Ended up getting two free tickets to the boxing. I had about 6 or 7 pints, maybe 8 or 9.
Probably 12.
Yeah. And you know what? If I had to play golf that next day, it wouldn't matter if it was a midnight tee off. Like, I just, my body just weren't happening until
now.
Today, but you know what? I played 9 holes. Well, I played 12 holes actually with our Ryan midweek, and got a lesson off David. Same old stuff, flipping the hands, body not moving, stay on top of it, you know, back to basics sort of thing. So it's 50 balls probably in the lesson, and then 50 balls on the range. Went out with Ryan, birdied the third, birdied the third, bogeyed the fourth, doubled the fifth, and I was like, oh,
here we go,
bubble popped, and then eagled 7, birdied 9, and then birdied the last. Well, played 10, 11, par, par, with 2 unbelievable up and downs, and then birdied the 18th for 2 under through 12. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Watch
Life
out.
Was good. So, I'm looking forward to it massively.
It will be good, won't it? Yeah, I think get us back into the swing of things with the golf, won't it? Because
I know, it's just...
season's just about to start in the March.
It's just like, then the stag do starts then, doesn't it? So it's...
Well, I'm getting off, aren't I?
Oh, yeah.
I'll leave you to it for that.
No, you're having a few days, aren't you? What day did you get off?
I get off Friday morning, so I'm only there for the Friday of the actual fucking mayhem.
No, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I think you're getting away with anything. What are you on about there? You are getting lumped.
Yeah, but you know me, I'll just get lumped Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday anyway.
I know, that's Dave's biggest fear, that.
Yeah, oh. I do like a beer, what can we say?
That's it.
While in Rome, Portugal, wherever we're going.
Yeah, while in anywhere.
Exactly. Golf news then, what have we got?
I haven't got much, just have seen that the loads of sponsors have come out, and there seems to be a common theme of nobody really understood and nobody still understands like what events that these elevated schedule are going to be part of. So they're all very confused and they don't understand it. But then once they all sat down with Monaghan, about 6 different sponsors I read in this article, once they sat down with him and he explained the reason, he explained why, and then do you think they're on board and they like it?
Well, Shane Lowry said the same thing, didn't he? Yeah. Said I wasn't sure at first. Fitzpatrick, Justin Rose have said the exact same thing once we've sat down and we've been explained. And actually, Monaghan came out and done about a 5-minute interview with Sky Sports. It's on the website if anyone wants to go and listen to it word for word. But basically what he said is that the response has been positive for players once he's explained exactly what where they're coming from.
Yeah,
and that sponsors and fans are excited.
Yeah, the players who were involved in the positive.
It is, yeah.
If you look at like Ryan Armour, like he come out and saying like the players who can't make the top 70s or however many 80 or whatever it's going to be, like they're going to feel like mules going to play other tour events while the bigger events are on.
I suppose, yeah, but that's the concept of it, isn't it? If you want to get in these bigger events, you need to play better. But they had that with the DP World Tour for years, didn't they? The better players in the DP World Tour went over to America. But like we said last week, they've created a tour within a tour now. So
I suppose it's like just like the Rolex events, isn't it? If you're not in a position to play them, you don't play them.
Well, it's always been the same, the WGCs, yeah. Top 50, the majors to some extent. Do you know what I mean? If you're not good enough to get in the majors, you don't get in them.
Exactly.
We mentioned this last week, is do these designated events take away majors? Probably not, because of the history behind a major. Everyone can get up for them, and I suppose the Opens are open to everybody from a qualification perspective. But it does close the tour off a little bit. But you can sort of understand the model if you're looking at it just from a PGA, forget all the other tours, as a PGA tour, if they're just looking and being selfish for themselves, you're going to get 70 players playing in just these events. And if you want to play in them, you've got to play your ass off for the year and play better. So you're playing for the opportunity to get in there. So then like I suppose a top 15 or a top 10 is important when you're coming down the stretch in a non-designated event, and you can sort of position it. So like we said last week, you can see the positives.
It's like almost your cuts in a different event.
Yeah.
To get you into the next event, isn't it?
It is.
Like,
yeah.
For instance, like Minwoo Lee coming down the stretch there, like trying to make top 10 or trying to get into the next event. It's like, that's like what it could be like for someone trying to get into the next designated event if they're on the cut mark or if they're on the bubble.
Yeah, Ben Griffin, exactly the same, you know, makes the top 10 at the Arnold Palmer, gets in the players and, you know, leading in round two, failing that bogey on the last hole on round two. He'd have been going into round three, probably one of the leaders, wouldn't he? So,
yeah, I know.
You know, you're right. There is that edge, just what it does to the rest of the golf. You know, we've spoke about this, you know, the Asian Tour are trying to excel through the international series. You've got the DP World Tour. You've got a strategic alliance. We called the pod last week the Unstrategic Alliance because where does the DP World Tour sit in this situation?
No, it does seem like it's been a bit left out on the date, like, doesn't it? But money.
Yeah, there is talk of money getting pumped and increasing for next year, isn't there, for it? So, and you've got to...
Like, we can't be the only ones talking about... Like, even Matt Fitzpatrick's come out and said it's become a feeder tour, which is like... he's a bit later on that one, like, because we've been saying that for years, but like, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so but if you're a up and coming PGA Tour player who's a rookie, like Montgomery, for example, Taylor Montgomery, a rookie but has started off really well and he's in prime position to be top 50, so he's played very well this season and he's going to be one of the ones who will benefit from this change happening next year.
Yeah.
The only downside to it is because the FedEx points, I think they're talking about a designated event win gets you 700 points and the non-designated events get you 300, I believe. I could be wrong with that, but it is something around that. Well, around that.
Yeah, but the non-designated, like, as in like they win a different tournament on at so the same time. Not just a different PGA Tour event.
No, so there's going to be designated events and there's going to be non-designated events now. Doesn't matter if they're at the same time.
Right. I read it a bit differently. So I thought it was like, so say, for instance, the Valspar this week, you get 500 normally. Then on the designated, you get 700. And then you played the other event at the same time as it, you get 300. Like the way when the Puerto Rico Open was on at the same time as the Arnold Palmer, it's less. But even though it's a PGA Tour event. That's how I read it. Okay. I don't know. I could be wrong.
You could be right, though. I've missed that, if that's the case. Yeah. No, you might be right.
Yeah. Because then otherwise, then the way I thought it was, if the Valspar, like,
I thought it was a default as it's either a designated event or a non-designated event.
Ah, I see. Yeah. Well, do you know what? We haven't had for a while.
Fact check. There's a lot going on. It's easy to be confused. Yeah. I wasn't aware of that. No, if that's the case, then that makes it a bit.
Yeah, but you've got to remember how I read things is like completely different to normal people. So I just read and scan and read back and then fill in the blank. So
it, under the way I was thinking about it, if you've got 300, say 300 is correct. If you've got 300 points for all the non-designated events, it's going to be much harder to get the substantial amount of points to get into that top 50. So then you are sort of closing it off. You've got to be very, very good. So, like we mentioned last week, it's only opening it up to probably four or five people to get in and four or five people to come out. Where yeah. Jay Monahan in his interview said, like 60% generally retain the top 50 and 40% drop out. That's going to change quite a lot if the points are skewed. And that's one thing that Fitzpatrick said.
What, go more or less?
Less. It's going to be less chance you get in if you can't obtain.
Well, that's what
points.
We said last week, didn't we? We said that you'll, by the standards next year, you'll probably be able to predict the 2025 designated event fields.
Yeah. And Fitzpatrick said as well that the points are skewed.
Yeah.
That's what he believes. So, as a fan, if you're just heart set on, you know, because a lot of people don't like LIV, a lot of people don't care about the DP World Tour and the Just PGA Tour. So, if that's your go-to, just that tour, these changes are phenomenal, I think, because it does give you like the opportunity to watch two tours. And like we mentioned before, you can really see somebody might be pushing for like a top 15 to get into the designated event the following week.
No, definitely.
Which could be because there is opportunity for those to earn the way in there. Yeah, so.
But then it's like, is there any like exposure TV coverage? It's not really about, is it?
If they're on at the same time.
At the same time, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's like it gets overshadowed, like the... Just going back to the Puerto Rico Open again, that felt like didn't even
you forget
see one
it
shot.
Yeah, you forget it's on. You're right. Any more golf news?
So I don't know if we mentioned this on the pod, but we have mentioned it a few times about divots and the divot in the fairway rule.
Oh yeah.
So when we were in Saudi, Livia Cowan's caddy, he jokingly said when Yana was going through all the different. They had the ref out twice over two different things, and he was messing around saying that you can move a divot out the fairway now. You can move your ball out of a divot. And then on the 18th, Cowan actually put it in a divot, laid up perfectly into a zone. So when I was like in there having some food with them, having a chat, and she was fuming and like she was going on, and I said, well, why don't you just make professional squares in layup zones, like we've said before, of divot, like where you can move your ball out of a divot.
Divot relief
in certain areas.
You still have to drop it from the knee.
Yeah, where all the players are going to be laying up to have these zones. And it was Angel, Yin, Yana, and Olivia Cowan all sitting there, and they all looked at me and went, what a great idea. And I was like, I know. And we all just laughed. But then, like, I can't remember what happened to on the weekend, but I remember watching it, and there's a perfect drive right down the middle, and they were forced to lay up on the par five. I think it was, who was it?
It was on 16, was it?
It was on, yeah, with the long, was that the long, the 600 yard par five?
That might be nine.
Nine, whichever one it was anyway.
Nine's the long one.
Yeah, well, it was the long one. And then they were forced to lay up, and even the layup was a bit shoddy, and then they hit the green, and they changed the, like, what could have been a easy birdie into a struggling par. And I'm just thinking, maybe that this rule wouldn't come into a place for them at that point where they're hitting that ball too, because then you're, well, at that elite level with that much money at stake, like, you've only had to look at what happened to Hoagie and what happened to Hatton or Montgomery, which we'll come on to in a minute. Like, it's thousands and hundreds of thousands of pounds that is at stake.
Do you know, it's the perfect opportunity for somebody like Liv to just introduce that to their events.
Definitely.
And then, you know, use that as a trial, because obviously Liv essentially trialing no-cut events, and now look what the PGA Tour are doing, the following ship. So
shorts, DP World Tour doing shorts.
Yeah.
Like, divots, they could do it. Like, I do, the only argument against it are for amateurs, really. How do you determine what a divot is? How, like, come on, mate. If you can see a divot, you can't.
Yeah, but even if it's not a divot and it's just a bad lie in the fairway, like, if you hit a fairway, you should be in a good lie, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Course conditions, you know, okay, that's not a divot, but if the course conditions mean that you're in a bit of shite in the middle of the fairway, you should be able to drop it into something with grass on anyway, because you've hit a good shot.
It's like having water, or like that water rule where if there's water coming up off the surface and you can get water on your feet, that's up for interpretation. That's up for, like, people manipulating it or, like, bending the rules a bit.
Of course it is.
Patrick Reed with his finger and all that. Like, every rule's up for bending.
Yeah, and the three minutes to find your ball
three
rule.
3 minutes, a lot know, of them, yeah. A lot of things
in golf are all about integrity, aren't they? And making sure that you're doing the right thing. So
if you're going to police yourself on one rule, why can't you police yourself on another?
Yeah, the divot thing's always got me, because I can't see an argument where you should be hitting it out of a divot. You've not aimed. You're not on the tee going, right, there's loads of divots down the right hand side, then I'm going to aim down the left. Yeah. It's just nothing that ever comes into anyone's mind. It's not, you never coached on it when you're a kid. Right, divot avoidance. Do you know what I mean? It's just not a concept that comes out.
Strokes
in golf.
Game, divot avoidance.
But there's nothing.
No, exactly.
That ever,
yeah. Even like, so say for instance, like most people's like favorite yardage is between 50 and 100 yards, isn't it? Like
scoring
around that area. So when you're laying up, that's where you're trying to get to,
and that's where you'll get the absolute
pasties.
Yeah,
exactly. You know. Yeah,
end up getting a good lie because the divot's that big.
Yeah, but it just comes to my mind about that conversation that we had in the when I was in the players' lounge and you were marshalling.
Zine, just Mark the Marshall. It's a regular guy. I don't know what all the fuss is about me.
Oh, mate, that was so funny.
Anyway.
But yeah, that needs... So basically, we need to get a petition started about that.
Well, lead the charge on this.
Yeah.
Create a nice...
I'm going to DM Greg Norman.
Yeah. Let's create a nice little relief zone. The only problem you've got with the relief zone, thinking about it now, is... the yardage.
What do you mean?
So you've got 150 into the green, but the little square that you've cut out is 145 to the green.
Mm.
How do you compensate for that?
Well, just have it in the fairway, closely mown. If they're not, Liv aren't getting world ranking points anyway. So it's like, they're putting handicap cards in there, so no one's bothered. It's just a mess about.
No, but I think I agree with what you're saying, but I don't know that whether these squares will work because
fairway. Then
I think you just need the nearest point of relief
in the fairway.
We're just next to the divot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No close to the
roll old. It out with one finger, like you used to do a plug.
One club length.
Yeah.
Nearest point of relief, the same way you would on a car path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I think that would sort a lot of problems out there.
Yeah. And you can't even have the argument to pace a play because it's the exact same as going in a hazard, going in a, and it doesn't happen that often.
No.
Divots in the fairway. So there's not going to be no slow play ramifications. There's not going to be, everyone's going to be happy because it makes it fairer across the board. And if there is that discrepancy, is that a divot, isn't it? It's only the same as did the ball cross at this line, didn't it?
Exactly. Integrity, like.
Yeah.
That is the word of the week, and that's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
That time again?
It is. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bogey bust, the birdie bogey bust, birdie bogey bust. Don't ever introduce that segment like that with that point. We need to get that video clipped out now. What's your birdie?
My birdie is Ben Griffin. Just his honest account of how his career went. So I don't know if you read about the story about what he'd done. So he's 24. So he's decided to take a step back from golf. Doesn't want to pursue his career to try and make it on the PGA Tour anymore. He becomes a loan officer. So financing homes, residential mortgages. He met a man called Doug Sage, who's the managing partner of Lord Abbott. So you'll have seen this week, Ben Griffin on his tops. He's got Lord Abbott.
Oh, yeah.
On his tops. So basically, he was paired up for a random nine holes with this guy at Sea Island Golf Club in St. Simons Island. Sieg was so impressed with Griffin after the nine holes that he offered to back him financially. So this is post him saying he wanted to quit, that he wanted to back him financially to help him realise his PGA Tour dream. But obviously, Griffin politely declined and said that he was going to stick to his desk job as being a loan officer. Months later, a guy called Randy Myers, who's a Sea Island-based golf trainer who works with Griffin, but he was also a graduate assistant strength coach at Penn State when Sieg played football there, so they knew each other, so it was mutual friends. He called Sieg and said, Ben is coming back and he's going to be great. He's got back into golf and now obviously graduated to his rookie season on the PGA Tour this year, had an amazing finish at the Arnold Palmer last week. He's obviously working towards potentially being top 50 to get in these designated events, completely changed his career around. And the reason it's me birdie is because it resonates so much to what we're trying to do with the Appear on Athlete.
Yeah.
So the ecosystem, the word I love to use, what we're trying to build, where these type of stories happen so often. And if Ben Griffin doesn't play those nine holes for one reason, he's potentially still at his desk, and what a waste that is for golf.
He's
still only 26, obviously an unbelievable talent. And I know these stories are few and far between, and it doesn't happen to everybody, but given these players the opportunity to try and fulfill that dream of making it to the top tour, whether it's DP World Tour, whether it's wanting to get to live, whether it's playing the PGA Tour or playing majors, whatever, the Appear on Athlete program is something that we're trying to build to allow players to do that. So it just, the reason it's me birdie, it just resonated so much
just
with
shows you
what
though,
we're trying to do.
It just shows you that, like, right place, right time, like, even through the Appear on Athlete, like, even just getting into a golf club, getting from not playing golf or from school or on the street or whatever the Appear on Academy graduates are going to come from, getting into a golf club, you don't know the players you're going to, the people you're going to meet.
No.
In any walk of life, like loads of the contacts that I've like used for my house, used for like other different contacts around in my life, loads of them have come from the golf club.
Well, yeah, even that Bunkered Golf Show that we went to, you know, the contacts that we've made off the back of going to the Bunkered Golf Show with Appear on Clothing and the Appear on Athlete program, you know, we've spoke to a lot of people, told them what we're trying to do. We've had a number of conversations off the back of that, and we're doing a lot of collaboration now off the back of it. So
definitely,
it is all about that networking. But it was just interesting that obviously we've launched the Appear on Athlete now. We've got a few lads signed up, and at the moment we're supporting them through clothing. And as the business grows, we're supporting them financially as well. because we know how difficult it is in the grind to make it, as Ben's explained in this post-game interview, that, you know...
Post-game? You slagged me off last week for that.
Well, I was thinking that because you said post-match, and I'd already said the word post, and I was thinking post-golf doesn't work, so...
I know, that's where I got kerfuffled with that.
But yeah, no, so that was me birdie. I just think that, you know, that these stories, like I say, are few and far between, but having a platform there to allow people to at least have a go, because you hear stories all the time, people have done certain things and then decide it's not for them, and sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's just, you know, they don't want to do it. You got to remember, these people like us playing golf, you start when you're 13, when you get to 24, 25, all your mates are doing other things and you're not getting the opportunity, you think you're missing out, don't you? So yeah, you want to change, and it's only when you take a step back. And that's another thing that Ben Griffin said as well. It was like the fact that he'd taken 2 years away from it and had a desk job, he realised how much he actually wanted it.
Oh, yeah.
So having that life experience and thinking, you know,
it should be mandatory, shouldn't it?
Which takes...
Like, just go and play golf for 4 years. Like, what? Like then say, right, go on, go 6 months. Go 6 months as a bricky or a labourer or a compliance officer or something, and just realise that you hate this life and get right back on that golf course, because I'd work a treat that.
It would.
I'd reform anyone.
Maybe we introduce that as part of the appealing athlete. Yeah, you have to go and do an apprenticeship.
Come and do a day with you.
Yeah. You have to do an apprenticeship with the Bogey Boys.
Honestly. But do you know what's mad? Your birdie there, like my birdie is never give up.
Okay.
Like that's what it is. So like, that's a good example of it.
Yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton was like 44th position or 40 something coming into the back nine, shoots 29, finishes with 5 in a row, goes from earning 142,000 what he was going to earn to 2.7 million.
Yeah.
Like just off not giving up.
Yeah.
Like Tom Hoagie, what did he shoot? He shot 78
and then 2 under, yeah.
78 for first round.
Yeah.
Then he shot 10 under.
Yeah.
Then he shot.
He made the cut on the bottom, wasn't
he? He sweated. He had 2 flights cancelled that he had to move. And then he's ended up walking away with 1.5 million at the end of the week.
Breaking the course record.
With a course record at TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah.
So it's just another, like, even, and then even relating back to my golf where I had bogey double. And then I just didn't let it get to me, and just like had a birdie and an eagle, and next minute I'm back on the
par. There was so many stories about that, because Min Woo Lee was the same, had a nightmare front nine, finds himself 5 over at one point, and then grinds his way back and ends up finishing. It was a tied 6th in the end.
I think so. Yeah.
So obviously that does. Well, so he had a putt,
didn't he, to
go 5th on his own.
He was 8 under, wasn't he?
Yeah, so 8 under was tied 6, same as Homer. Yeah,
but then he bogeyed the last, didn't he? So I think he was.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe if he'd have birdied, he would have got to 9 under, which would have been 3rd.
Right, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Fact check that.
Ultimately, no, he did bogey the last year because he hit it over the right, didn't he?
And yeah, then, ultimately, just it again, yeah. Just never get...
He could have shot 10 over there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then 10 overs were out there.
Yeah.
Like, there was a few of them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we know what TPC Sawgrass can do to you, especially those last couple of holes. But yeah, no, I agree. It the never give up attitude, and I think that is so much more apparent for next year when you're talking about you've got to earn your way into these designated events. You know, for the PGA Tour, and how do you get
there? It's one thing saying, "Oh, it's a second tour, it's this, it's that," but at the same time, when you're on that cut mark, you know there's 50 grand last place after the cut. Tensions rise, so you know that you're on the bubble for the next week,
yeah,
where the money's massive. Like, it's everything to play for, and like, even having double bogeys or having like how many golfers are having triple bogeys these days, like on the courses, like,
yeah,
it was it last week, who
Kitayama
won with one. Obviously Min Woo Lee was flying, like, obviously Tom Hoagie had one. Like, it's just mad. But yeah, never give up was me birdie there for this week. I feel like that's a real theme for the week.
Good birdie.
Yeah.
So my bogey this week is Matt Fitzpatrick's comments about not allowing live guys to come back, saying that they've made the choice. What he's basically said is that his personal view is that you can't have your cake and eat it. But then he goes on to say that I want to stay here and I want to play DP World Tour and PGA Tour. So basically PGA Tour is where he's playing his golf on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But then he goes and has his cake and eats it and chooses which DP World Tour. And I know you can argue he's earned the right to do that because
well, that's
of
it. Yeah, I was going to say that. But all I was going to say was he's trying to support both tours and play, whereas the Live guys is a bit different because it's outlined and it's banned and it's outlawed and it's the rules are in place, aren't they, sort of thing?
Yeah, but that's only because they've made it that way.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. But that's the way it is, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but, you know, Fitzpatrick is an unbelievable. I think he's won 6 or 7 times on the DP World Tour. So, yeah, he's earned his right to go and play for the big money and the big purses and then come back to the DP World Tour when he chooses. But then he's saying you can't have your cake and eat it about the Live guys where, you know, somebody like Cam Smith has gone over to Live and he's gone to try something different. So why can't he come back and defend the players? He's earned it.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Because he can come back and play the Open. It's being made that way. And I'm going to contradict myself here because I think what Liv's got is different to what the PGA Tour has got, and you probably don't need them to come back and play a merge. You can probably have Liv go and do what Liv are doing and have PGA doing what they're doing. But I just think for players to come out and say that, my bogey is Fitzy saying that you can't have your cake and eat it, but then he's saying, I want to play DP World Tour and PGA Tour.
I think he's only threw DP World in there because he's said it's a feeder tour, so he can't be seen to turn his back on it.
Yeah, and he has made comments about he doesn't think the strategic alliance is as good as it could be or something along those lines. We posted about it, didn't we? What was it?
I think he just basically said it's a feeder tour and it's not. It's got nothing to benefit the DP World Tour, which is right, like, isn't it?
Well, exactly, yeah. So, you know, yeah, I think when the Live guys go and play the DP World Tour, proof in the pudding was Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy had an unbelievable shootout in Dubai, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was fantastic to watch. And I think there's a good chance.
Like the derbies are always better, aren't they? Because there's that rivalry.
Yeah.
So that's it. Having them meet on that stage, that's why the DP World Tour should be inviting more players and making it more people were tuning in because of the Teagate scandals.
Exactly,
Reed being there.
Yeah, and as fans, that's what you want to watch, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, golf needs that spark.
Especially with them being like, Rory having a putt to beat him on the last and all that. It was fairy tale game, wasn't it?
Brilliant, yeah. What's your bogey?
My bogey is Tommy's final round.
Yeah.
He's got himself right there into position.
I know. And do you know what? He put it so well as well.
His putting was great.
He was just jittery first 9 holes, wasn't he? Like, he missed like a...
Off the tee as well. He just struggled. I just think for how solid he usually is in his putting, like he's renowned for his putting being...
He got it going so low on the Saturday to put himself in contention and it was just disappointing, wasn't it? It ended so quick for him. I think that was the biggest disappointment, wasn't it? Yeah. I know he had 2 doubles in the back 9, but the way Scottie Scheffler started, he was 1 over for his first 6 or 7 holes. So there's an opportunity there to apply pressure.
He's right there.
You'd apply the pressure and you're playing in front of him, you know. Yeah, I agree. There's a couple of people that done that. You know, Scottie Scheffler didn't get off to a hot start. And I know that he had 5 birdies in a row, but there was a real opportunity for the field to put pressure on him. And Scottie Scheffler showed when pressure's applied, he'd done it. He had like quite a handsome lead going into the final round of the FedEx at the Tour Champs, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Rory caught him and won. So he can be caught if you put a bit of pressure on him. And I think life was made easy. You know, the 16, 17 and 18, you still got to hit the shots and the tough finishing holes, but it helps when you've got a 5-shot lead.
It does. But then even like on 8, when he was in a little bit of trouble, Scheffler, and then chips in, it reminds me like at the Masters when Smith was like there and they both duffed the shots and then Scheffler just chips in
momentum.
It was just
swing,
like, oh my word. And then
chips in on the back nine as well.
Then he birdies the next, then he holds a nice putt on the next after that and you're just like, wow.
Yeah, got it going, yeah.
But there were 2 lip-ins. Like I watched one of them, that lip-in on the...
360.
Like that goes off the green for us. Doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
That never happens, that.
No,
on the, especially on them laser holes when they're like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my bogey anyway. What was your bust?
It was Taylor Montgomery's finish.
Same.
Was it? Yeah. What a nightmare, man. Yeah. 7 over in his last 3 holes to go from tied 6th to tied 44th. And the kid's having an unbelievable season. We spoke about him in the majority of the podcast of how well he's doing. And to be in that position, obviously he wasn't in a position to win it, but what a nice check of like $2 million would have done for him. Basically, we mentioned it before about he's one of the people who will benefit from this change in next year. He could cement himself as a household name on the PGA Tour moving forward.
He went from, if he'd have birdied a couple of holes or one hole coming in and he was in like fourth or third, he gets like 2.5 million and then he's finishing 44th where he's getting like 100 grand or something.
Yeah.
Which is obviously not to turn your nose up at, but...
No, I think financially, he's already earned over a million, hasn't he? I think he's on like 1.6 million, so financially he's fine.
Yeah, but he would have doubled his whole PGA Tour earnings.
Yeah, and it's the FedEx as well, the FedEx points.
FedEx point, everything, yeah. Just went to pot, didn't he?
It was just a calamity of errors. That he obviously got fortune on 17 because he did it long, so he got to drop on like the sort of pathway, didn't he? And then it was like just pretty much a simple chip and run. I know it's downhill, it's fast there, but... You don't put it in the water from there. That's just the cardinal sin, you know. So, yeah, it was disappointing to see what happened to him there. That was me bust.
That was mine as well. Even just the catalogue of mistakes over the closing holes there. Like, if he had a finish like Hatton, he's probably got a solo second.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Like, it's mental the difference.
Well, Hatton birdied the last three holes, didn't he? So
five.
No, but if you're saying the finish...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's gone from seven over. That's a 10-shot swing, now.
Madness, isn't it?
So...
Hatton's shot out the trees on 18 off the pine straw.
Wow.
Probably one of the best shots I've ever seen, you know?
Unbelievable. To play a cuff from there, to put it to like 4 foot.
He said he had to hover the club and it was like a 4-iron.
Yeah.
It to like 6 foot or something. Like, wow.
If there was ever a time for him to smile, it was then.
Yeah. Unbelievable scenes.
Was, yeah. Well, let's go on to the players' review then. So, obviously, the biggest prize in golf history, 4.5 million since the increased it to 25 this year. Five-shot victory, his fifth PGA Tour title in just over a year, and returns to world number one. We've got to give it to Scotty, the name of the pod. Superb Scotty, and for a reason.
Yeah, well, I've seen there's only three players to hold the Masters and the Players at the same time. Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and now Scotty Scheffler. So that's illustrious company, like, isn't it?
Yeah. And do you know what? The golfers have not got anywhere, so the talent is still unbelievable out there. And what he's doing, it's quite scary, isn't it, to think?
He's a beast.
Yeah. He's good at closing out. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show there, Tiger Woods said the best way to defend a lead is to increase it.
Well, definitely isn't. Like Rory showed that in the Masters that time when he started trying to defend it back then and just went to bits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then... When you said there five victories, he's part of an elite group as well with Rory McIlroy, Spieth, Justin Thomas, and one other player to have six wins in 100 starts. Six wins before his 100th.
Well, yeah, six wins because he had the Masters as well, but yeah. Five PGA, yeah, so six in total, yeah.
But then he's showing that's his 97th start on the PGA Tour, that's his sixth win.
Yeah.
And he's won six times in the last 47 events.
This is what I mean, like the win rate's
like
phenomenal.
That's, like, frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's nowhere near Tiger's levels, but he's got a superb opportunity. These are DJ stats, these DJ in his prime, I think.
No, 1,000,000%.
I think these are like, he's got a good opportunity to like be walking away with his career if he carries on going the way he's gone, because you've got to remember, he's still young, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he could have like 30, 40 PGA Tour wins.
Easily.
By the end of his career. And then you are a household name you remembered forever, aren't you? That he's already got a major in the bank.
I think he's more of a household name now because he's not a household name. It's weird. Like Nicola's sister's fella is like, who's this Scotty fella? And like, I was like, he's a beast, you know? And like, told he's like, is he? Yeah, that what he's up to.
Yeah.
So like, I thought it was just Rory McIlroy, and that, to be honest. No, they just like put non golf chat.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, he's like, he'll win this. Like, I was watching it yesterday. It's like, he'll win this, definitely. He closes out tournaments. Like, he's just an animal.
You know, you look at, and obviously don't mean any disrespect by saying this, but you look at a Rory McIlroy and you look at a John Rahm, and they've got like, they look like superstars, but Scotty Scheffler, he just hasn't got that. He's just like he's chilled, and he's
just
like
a normal guy, like,
yeah, like dead happy, dead nice to everyone. It like doesn't seem like he's got a bad word to say about anybody.
No,
he's always got nice things to say. He doesn't get too overhyped or underhyped. He's just like such a level headed guy, isn't he? But maybe that's probably why he hasn't got that superstardom about him, because he doesn't have the controversy that comes with it. Like, John Rahm will slam clubs and swear, Rory will say controversial things, you know. When we're talking about those top three, Scotty Scheffler just goes about his business and Hi, guys. Yeah. Bye, guys.
Although, like, how'd you feel, like, Scotty? Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
A little tired.
I had fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
It is a mad one. He's like, he hasn't got that. I was saying, saying this to Nick yesterday, like, he hasn't got that, like, X factor.
Yeah.
Of, like, great, like, what they've all got.
Yeah.
Bit of swagger, bit of cockiness. He's just like,
there's no, like, oh, I know.
He's got no panache, has he?
Panache, there you go. Where's the pod?
But he is just a legend, though. People are starting to have to like him because of what he's doing on the golf course.
You can't not.
No,
you can't
exactly,
not like him. You cannot not like Scotty Scheffler. He's just got that likability about him. He's a chilled out guy. But congrats, you know. Onwards and upwards for him, really. It's going to be interesting to see how this season unfolds now, because I think Scotty Scheffler and John Rahm both played in, I think someone put a tweet up saying they've both played in 7 events this season. They've won 5 between them, and then the other 2 was like, one finished third and one finished fourth or something.
And then you've got Rory's behind.
Yeah. As long as he can sort that driver out.
Mm-hmm.
Not a happy boy, is he?
No.
It's interesting, that.
It is, and I'll talk about that a little bit more when we review our picks about the driving and all. Like, there's a few things about, like, I've seen a few people putting the Stealth 2 away.
Yeah.
Tiger didn't choose to bring it out. Morikawa went back to the sim. I think Tommy's using it. So maybe the quick release, someone's a big article on the quick release and the TaylorMade do with, you just bring another driver up, bring another driver out to try and market. And maybe it's not all as it's hyped up to be.
The problem with that is if you're just giving them a year to embed a driver, is they get used to it, they get comfortable with it, and then they've got to change again. So that it's the time to get used to that, isn't it?
It is.
It's, you know, because it might increase your swing speeds and give you more speed, but you might need the extra speed that might make you knock it offline. Because remember, Rory.
Forgiveness.
Fucking hell. That's brilliant, that one.
Honestly, though.
So, you know, Rory was open when he was chasing speed because of what Bryson done, saying that it hindered him more than it helped him. So now, if you're looking at this carbon woods being more forgiveness, do you know what I mean? And giving you a bit more forgiveness. Like somebody like Rory, who hits it bang out the middle pretty much every time, doesn't need forgiveness.
No.
And he doesn't need any more distance, really. So if you've got a driver with Rory that is pretty much 65-70% of the time hitting fairways, which is above tour average, and he's hitting it 330 plus down there, like, what do you need?
No.
You don't need any more than that.
No.
You need to work on the other part of your game. Like, and he's changed to the Vokey wedges this season, hasn't he? Yeah. TaylorMade have given that flexibility to put them wedges in. And it was paying dividends because the first time he used them, he won.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think sometimes constant changes.
New isn't always better.
No. No.
Like, since we've been doing this pod, I think there's been 4 stealth drivers. No, 4...
I mean, the Stealth 2.
Stealth 2, yeah. And, like, I don't know, I've got the Sim 2. And then when you look at the Stealths and you put them next to each other, I know one's carbon wood and one's obviously the Sim 2, whatever that's made out of, metal or something. It doesn't look unsimilar to it. But, yeah, so...
No, but you look at the paradigm, that's carbon wood, and, yeah. Like, people can't say enough about it. So it's obviously the carbon wood does work, and the Stealth, which is carbon wood, does work.
But the only two all Taylor May will say, well, Scotty seems to be using it all right.
yeah, maybe it's not the
maybe it's just you.
Maybe you've gone shite, yeah. Well, before we move on to golf this week, obviously Jorge Campillo.
Yeah, Magical Kenyan Open.
Got his third.
Under.
Yeah, got his third victory there in 3 years and 3 days since his last victory as well. So it's been some time since he's been off the top of the charts, but Gets that victory over the line at the Magical Kenyan Open. He said in his post-conference, what are we going to call it?
Press
we need
interview.
A word. We need a word for it.
His interview after the golf.
Campillo said in his interview after the golf that, you know, it's an honour to win the same trophy as Seve.
Ah, nice. Well, speaking of that, there was Campillo, then there was somebody else Spanish, then 2 Japanese, and then 3 more Spanish.
Yeah,
at the top of the list at this course, it's like it's mad the way. Obviously, if Seve's won there before, how the Spanish all fared well.
Yeah,
there's that one for you.
Thanks for that amazing stat.
You can have that.
But no, yeah, obviously didn't watch much of the Magical Kenya Open this week. So I know Baldwin made the cut. Ewan made the cut. Doing well this season, Baldwin, since he's got his full card in the DP World Tour. So he'll be happy with that. And travelled over to South Africa for the SDC Championship this week as well, which is part of the co-sanctioned events.
With the Sunshine
Tour and the DP World Tour.
If Higo ever go back and play the Sunshine Tour like he said he was going to?
No, but you know what? He was flying in the players, and then I don't know what he done on 17, but he cleared everything.
He was saying that the wind was quite like when Homer hit it, like, because I think Tiller was playing with Homer in the final round, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
And then he said when Homer's hit it, a wind has took his and it's gusted right off the green.
Yeah.
And Hatton stands up and waits to like, judge the wind a bit better because it swirls around that island. So it's tough to judge.
When the wind's up, it's impossible. And look at Tommy. Tommy didn't even get it there. He landed short of it all. You've got so many players going long, some short, and then Scotty Scheffler knocking it to 4 foot.
I know. And Min released it as well, didn't he?
Yeah, even closer, yeah. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is quality, bro.
But St. Francis Links making its debut on the DP World Tour this season. It was voted South Africa's best new course in 2017. Said they've been working 16 years to get an event like this. It's hosted several Sunshine Tour events, but looking at the pictures, it does look like a really top course. Yeah, par 71, 7,192 yards, this one. I've not seen it played before, so I'm looking forward to watching this one. And seeing how the course plays out, because it reminds me of what was the course that Brooks Koepka won the US Open on?
Not too sure about that.
I haven't given you much to go off there, but there's a course and it's got like
flags and bunkers and all that.
It's got grass and
tee boxes and that.
It's got them wasteland areas. Anyway, this looking at this St. Francis Links, it gives a look of like a US Open or a PGA. It looks very American, this course.
I'm just going to get that up now. Where are you chatting?
Anyway, they'll have to get through the first day because it's wind gusts of 40 miles an hour along the coast there.
It wasn't Belle Reevey, was it? That's not what you're chatting about. Beth Page Black, no. Eden Hills, or last one, Shinnecock Hills.
Shinnecock. That's it. Shinnecock Hills, it reminds me of Shinnecock.
Was that just because there was no options left?
I had no other options
there,
yeah. Yeah, but no, if you look at what Shinnecock Hills looks like and you look at this course, there's similarities.
Yeah. Madden for Koepka winning that up major in 2018, sorry, he won 2.1 million. Scheffler just doubling them there for the players.
Golf's changing, madness, mate. Isn't it? Golf is changing.
But yeah, no, I am looking forward to watching the DP World Tour. I haven't really been getting that much into it because obviously the players and the Arnold Palmer, they're so big, aren't they, that you're just looking forward to watching the American golf, which is, I suppose, it's the whole talking point of why they don't want to dilute the other events and make the non-designated events because no one will tune in.
I'm interested in watching this one because the course looks unbelievable. That St. Francis Links looks really good. It looks like that Shinnecock Hills in America. But yeah, 40 miles an hour first day, and then there's a bit of a storm early morning Friday coming, and then obviously winds off the back of that for the Friday. So it's going to
stinks of a Monday finish, that
it does, doesn't it? But it's going to be, yeah, you're going to have to hit the ball well by the looks of things. I know you have to anyway, but just to make the cut. So
come see what comes of it.
We will.
Liv back again, isn't it? Liv Tuscany in Arizona.
Yeah, number 2 of 14.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's seen this, but if you go on the Liv website, it gives you like a pathway to what team you choose. Like, so it says, what music are you into? Like hip hop, country, R&B. What excites you? Like putting, holding a chip, bombing drives. What animal most represents you? Like a dolphin, a bear, a stallion. Like what courses are these are your favorite? And it like just goes through it all. And that's how I've done it before.
You look like an ironhead, if I'm honest.
You're a nibbler. Now, do you know what I got? And this is no cheating.
Talk.
4 aces.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Of course you did.
You'll have to do it.
I'll be a nibbler, won't I?
And see what you get. If you get nibbler, that'll be boss. But I was just looking at the live schedule to see like what who was performing, what artists or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the schedule and it's got like, oh, Fan Zone opens 8 o'clock, 8:45, barbecue and face painting, kids face painting.
Yeah.
Like 2 o'clock, walking caricatures. You know, like the Paw Patrol or something.
Festival of Golf, mate.
Yeah. And then it said, 3:30, photo opportunity with the ex-frog skydiving team. And you're just like, what is going on here? Like,
it's the festival of golf, isn't it? You know, it's the family day out.
Looking for the festival. That's what I got.
The family day out concept, isn't it? Bring it your is. Family, yeah. Kids go free and all that jazz.
It is.
Yeah. So I don't know what how they're getting on, but with the ticket sales and stuff, I know there's a lot of talk on social media. I know Adelaide is, yeah, because that's got the party all on 12 as well.
Mm.
But I think the Australians are always turning up for the likes of Cam Smith.
Is it sold out or is it full? There's a difference, isn't there?
Let's see what comes of it, as we always say. But no, yeah, the first event, you know, Charles Howell III ran away with it, didn't he? So hopefully this event we get something a bit more competitive going.
Oh, juicy.
Yeah, you got the shotgun start. You don't want the anti-climax. But they are selling the team a lot more than the individual, aren't they? I think that's really, I know they've always said it was a team championship and there's more money in the teams, but even when you go online on the website, like the team is first ahead of the individual.
Even that team picker?
The team picker on there, yeah, who's your team you support. So there's definitely a concept.
Franchising, aren't they? That's the point. That's what they're trying to do. F1, like they're trying to get it like that.
Yeah, so no, I'm looking forward to watching that in between the Valspar, which we'll come on to now. Every player, apart from Thea Gala, who finished in the top 10 last year, is back at the event this year, so they must like it.
I've seen Thea Gala coming out saying, I'm overrated. There's no way. There's only 28 golfers better than me. Mm. What sort of negativity is that?
Yeah, there's a couple of players like that. Damon was the same on the Netflix, wasn't he? Saying, I'm happy to just be a top 70. Somebody's got to do it. Yeah. Maybe it's the not give a shit attitude and make you play better type of thing. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. You don't know what's going through these guys' heads. But yeah, it is a bit of a strange.
It's like if he says that and then goes to 40, he's not bothered. But if he says that, if he says like I should be better, and then he goes to 40, it's worse. It's like reverse psychology on the world.
Take the pressure off yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So defending champ is Sam Burns.
It is. Sam Burns it up.
Yeah, looking for a hat trick.
Right.
He'll become the first player to win the same event in 3 consecutive years since Steve Stricker at the John Deere Classic. We seem to say this a lot, don't we? Because there's been a couple that have won 2 in a row, and Max Homer won back-to-back at the, was it the Genesis?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, next year, Scotty Scheffler will be looking for the hat-trick for the Waste Management only because he's won that back-to-back.
That's it.
Mm. So, what do you think he can do it?
Who? Sam Burns? Or Scotty Scheffler?
He's not there, Scotty Scheffler. So
no, I mean, Scotty, I thought you meant Scotty Scheffler next year.
We're talking about the Valspar, aren't we? Yeah, I was going to say, what's up?
Yeah, so it's at Innsbruck Resort, Copperhead, par 71, 7,340 yards. So it's a bit of a beast.
It is, and it's a bit tight as well. It's all about position and the angles at this. It's not a course that you can overpower.
No.
You know, it's a lot of trees, very tree lined, and then you've obviously got to take on the snake pit, which is 16, 17, and 18. As you finish, you've got 16's known as the Moccasin. It's dubbed one of the hardest holes in the PGA Tour. 460 yards isn't total, so yardage wise, it's not that bad, but it's got a narrow fairway, which is bordered by the water on the right and the trees on the left. So, like you say, accuracy is going to play a key part. Then 17's the Rattler. Obviously takes its name from the rattlesnake, which is 215.
Steve Austin.
Yeah, stone cold, stunner on there if you go in the water. And then 18 to finish off is known as Copperhead, 445 yards, par 4. So when you look at the yardage, it doesn't look like it would cause you much problems, but
no,
when you look at it visually, you're like, fucking hell.
Swear of that.
Yeah.
That's it. One. Well, do you know what? Like, as we get into our fantasy golf picks now, I've took on a bit of a risk, mate.
You have?
Yeah.
What have you gone for?
So, I've gone for Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay. Talk to me about that.
2-1. He's second in overall putting.
Yeah, putting very well.
Which is surprising, because he has changed his putter. I did notice to like the half-round fang.
Seeing that, yeah, where it sort of loops out from the heel.
And it's got a bit of a offset hosel on it. And he's 15th in strokes gained, so his iron play is good. And he's 22nd in approach. So... all right.
Yeah.
Which is,
yeah,
it's just a ball striker's golf course.
He's just never won. Yeah. He's never won in America. And then you just worry, like, at the players there when he's got a chance and the pressure gets to him, he does seem to get a bit loose.
He's got that bad round in him, but
yeah.
The reason why I'm going for him is I'm going to back him to put a bit of practice in on the driver this week, because he's 169th total driving and he's 124th in distance, which is quite surprising, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's 130th in accuracy. So
good course to pick him on then.
Well, this is what I mean. But if he just picked, like, it's like Will Gordon last week. Like, everyone, you've got to think that they're going to be practicing the weaknesses moving forward. Like,
so it's going to click eventually.
It's going to click eventually.
You want to get ahead of the game.
I just think that with a couple of the big boys being out,
yeah,
and at 22-1, I think he's a shout to get his first W, well, in America.
Tied 16th last year, yeah. So yeah. That was his debut playing this course. So, you know, he's got familiarities with it and he's played well last season at the event. So, you know, we'll see how he gets on. I've gone for Sam Burns to burn it up.
Really?
Hat-trick hero, yeah. You know, he's won there the last 2 years. He's missed in his last four events. He's finished 6th, 2 missed cuts and tied 35th last week. So, it just depends what Sam Burns turns up, really. His driving accuracy.
But coming into this last year, he wasn't coming on much form, was he?
And that's what's making me think, because his driving accuracy is 110th, which is worse than what he came into this event last year. But he's 7th in one putt percentage this season. And all his putting stats are above the tour average.
Nice.
So this season. So I think if he can sort, like what you're saying there, if he can, he's got great memories here. He's won it twice. He knows how to win rounds here. And I think because he's putting so well, if he can just get the accuracy off the tee a little bit tighter, he's going to be a hard man to beat, I think.
What price?
I think he's third favourite.
Is he?
16-1, yeah.
All right.
What have you gone for pot two?
So pot two was, funnily enough, me pot four from last week.
Will Gordon,
80-1. Had a great week last week. Didn't put the four rounds together, finished 53rd in the end. But he's 47. It's a ball striker's golf course. And like we were saying last week, his putting and if he sort his putting out, his strokes gained and his greens in regulation were quality. So he's 47th in strokes gained, tee to green, and he's 5th in greens in regulation, 71%.
Yeah.
And he's 10th total driving. That's accuracy, distance, and fairway percentage, 10th. So
it's got the game.
And if he has another all right putting week, keeps the head on his shoulders, 80-1, I feel he's a great pick.
Well, he's had a great season, hasn't he? We spoke about this the last couple of times we've picked him. He's trending in the right direction. I think that's a great pick, that, for pot two.
Who's your pot two?
I've gone for Alex Smalley, me.
you say that's a great pick, that, yeah. I've gone for Will Gordon. Alex Smalley.
Yeah, he's 100-1, so he's a bit more odds in pot two than what you've gone for there. But looking at his statistics there, he's above the tour average across all driving stats. He's just under 60% in accuracy for the season. He's 26th in greens in regulation at 70%. And earlier this season, he had a 4th at Houston and a 5th at the RSM. And then he made the cut last week at the Players. I think he ended up finishing towards the bottom half of the cut after the cut. But, you know, I think those statistics there, he's hitting a lot of greens in regulation. His accuracy off the fairway is good. And he has had a good start to the season with those events. A couple of missed cuts in between. So, but, you know, the Florida swing is always a difficult run of events, isn't it? The Arnold Palmer at Bales, a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Players is a nightmare. So this could be his week, I think, you know, just to get his first win over there.
So Matt, that you said he's 26 there for 70%. Will Gordon is 5th with 71%. It's mad the difference in 1% there can take you 20 places down the list.
Just shows you, doesn't it? That's what making me pick him, because, you know, he's hitting a lot of greens. And I even looked at, there's a statistic now with greens in regulation and fringe.
Mm.
So where they're just missing the green. And even the difference on there, he shoots up to like 85%, Alex Smalley.
Ah, so he's always there or thereabouts. Sort of
so thing. You're still putting, aren't you? You know, Justin Rose showed that he missed the green on the fringe on 16 and then held the putt for the birdie. Yeah. So, you know, it just because you're not hitting the green in regulation doesn't mean that, you know, just missing
the flat stick,
maybe just short, just long, and you still get the flat stick out yet. So, Yeah, Alex Smalley, I don't know. I've never picked him before. And when I was looking through the statistics and looking at his game, I just think it sets up well for him.
So my pot three, I've gone for the 2012 Valspar winner, Luke Donald.
Yeah.
At 160 to 1.
On a sponsor's invite this week.
Yeah. So he's 160 to 1 for a start.
Yeah.
He's 26th approach to the green. From 75 to 100 yards, he's first. From 50 to 125 yards, he's first in accuracy.
Yeah.
From 200 to 225 yards in approach, he's first. And he's 54th in strokes gained putting. So if he gets it's a ball striker's golf course and you need to be accurate. So if he's hitting, getting that flat stick rolling, he could be up there again. And in pot three, 160 to one, he's my man.
Definitely worth a shout, isn't he?
Definitely.
Okay, my pot three is Ryan Armour, 250 to 1.
The mule.
The mule, yeah. Got a point to prove, Annie. You know, comes out with them comments. You know, if you're saying that you're going to be playing these lower tiered events while everyone else is playing the big events, then here's your chance to shine. So
sort it out.
I sort of went for that last week with James Hahn, and he got off to a decent start for pot four, but eventually missed the cut. And that didn't work out. But not only has Ryan Armour got a point to prove, he's coming out making statements like that. He's eighth in driving accuracy for the season, and he's almost at 70% for greens in regulation as well for the season. Nice. So I think the added motivation of what he's saying about these elevated events will look, you know, if you're saying that you should be in these events or that you want to be in these events, then go out there and prove it. So I think those comments, along with how accurate he is off the tee, it's the strongest part of his game, the driver. So at 250 to one, he's a good shout to definitely make the cut.
1,000,000%.
And pot four?
My pot four is Ches Reavie.
Okay.
So he's 300 to one. And then what brought, I checked a few of the odds of like driving distance of in the pot four, and they were all in the hundreds to try and see, get more, a bit more of an accurate ball striker off the tee. And he was seventh in driving efficiency and 12th in driving accuracy. And at 300 to one down there, if he sorts his putting on his ball striking out a little bit, he's 88th in greens in regulation. So, but still 67% of greens hit.
Yeah.
I just think that from down there, 300 to one, make the cut.
I suppose
pick.
That's a thing as well, isn't it? Like these golfers, any of them on the day can have a putting week, can't they? The actual, if you're swinging it shite and you're not hitting the ball as well as you can, then you can have a fucking nightmare. But if you're hitting fairways, you're hitting greens, then, you know, it there's different grass for greens, isn't there? And it might be appealing to some, so you might turn up and, you know, these greens suit me. I like the look of them. The smaller greens, maybe there's flatter greens. Maybe there's more, you prefer greens with more undulation so you can, you know, it might suit your eye better. So there's always that chance that if you're picking a player based on the statistics of how they get into the green, that they do have that one week where it's good.
Yeah.
You know, Chad Ramey was a prime example, 2,000 to one going in.
Yeah.
Wasn't putting very well, and then had unbelievable, like probably the best putting performance for the first 2 days he's ever had of his life.
Like at the end of the day, like when I was looking at Reavie's there, I've just been double checking it. He's 200th in strokes gained putting. It only takes him to up that a small bit, and he's probably into the top 50.
Yeah,
and at 300 to one, I just think that any given day, the margins between these statistics are so small.
Yeah,
that we've just proved it there. 71 greens in regulation to 70s, 5th to 26th. There's 0.345 on the edge of it for a reason, like,
yeah,
to make that you can jump quickly. So
yeah, and I think you've got to take, you can't take putting out of it, obviously, because if anyone performs well, you've got to put well. That's just golf, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Swing for show, putt for dough. I always said it, but I think when we're making these picks for the Fantasy Golf League this week, it is about putting your ball in the right positions off the tee and hitting as many greens as possible, because you know, you can rack up high numbers quite quick around here, and there's not many birdie opportunities. Think normally, what, 13, 14, 15 under wins this tournament. So you're averaging 3 or 4 under a round. So the likelihood of, there could be somebody who goes out first round and shoots 8 or 9 under, but they're not going to keep that consistent for the whole 4 days.
No, but look at the last 4 winners as well. Like Sam Burns, Paul Casey is a ball striker.
Yeah.
And Tiger was chasing him down. Obviously, we know Tiger's a ball striker that year. So
it's
one of them. Like, who's your pot four?
I've gone for Austin Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the reason being is Stoke gain approach to the green. He's 43rd for the season, so he's well above average. He's 41st in driving accuracy, so 63% on his driving accuracy. So when you're looking at that, he's getting his ball in play and his approach to the green is fairly good.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I picked him above other people who had similar statistics in POF 4 was he's around average for putting in the strokes gains category, but he's very strong from 10 feet and in. Nice. So he's fifth. He's fifth on the whole PJ Tour from 10 foot. So I think that's important. If you can hold them clutch putts, you're not going to knock it to within 10 foot for all your birdie putts, but where you do potentially get out of position, you've got them par putts from 8 foot. He's very strong from that position. So I think that could be the way he makes the cut this week. And, Austin Cook last season was playing really well. So he's got the game to compete on the PGA Tour. Hopefully this is his week.
Yeah, good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I am, yeah. Yeah, they're just obviously to complete the Valspar review, then obviously when we look at the field in total, Sam Burns, he's the defending champ. He's back there this week. But you've also got Justin Thomas and Fitzpatrick back in the field. They finished.
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. Jordan Spieth, I think this is his. I remember the last time he played here, but he's not played here for the last 4 or 5 years. So be interesting to see how he gets on, not knowing the course. But JT and Fitzpatrick both finished top five last season. So they'll have some good memories there. And then just one to look out for. I haven't picked him. He was in pot one. Just don't think he was strong enough. But Adam Hadwin won back in 16-17 season. And then in the 17-18 season, he finished 12th. And then last season, he finished 7th. So he's got good vibes going around here, but I think he was only like 26-1. Yeah. So I just think that I think he finished 18th or 19th last week at the Players.
Mm.
So his game's trending in the right direction. So I think he's definitely one to look out for this week. Whether he'll get it over the line, I doubt it. But I just thought it's worth mentioning Adam Hadwin this week to keep an eye on. And then you mentioned there about the Puerto Rico Open. Anyone who finishes in the top 10 of the tour earns a spot the following week, like we've said. So eight players who finished in the top 10 of Puerto Rico 2 weeks ago have earned a spot at this event. So that's Harry Higgs. We haven't seen him for a while, have we, on the PGA Tour. Cody Gribble, not sure who he is. Obviously got his chance and took it. John Van der Laan, you heard of him?
No,
same. Obviously Wesley Bryan, we know who he is. Carson Young, Michael Kim, Harry Hall, the English guy, and Akshay Bhatia is in the field.
He had a 62 or something, didn't he, in the Corn Ferry to finish second to last week to get.
Yeah, he got his special sponsors exemptions or something. So that, but yeah, he earned his place for his top 10 finish at the Puerto Rico Open. So we'll be seeing a lot more of him. It's nice to see some more lefties on tour, isn't it?
Lefty though, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the energy, the way we spoke about
the X-Factor.
The X Factor. He seems like one of those golfers who's got that bit of X Factor about him. Yeah,
meds as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, rips it. Yeah, proper fast swing. So, no, plenty of golf to look forward to this week, haven't we?
Spoiled
for choice, and won't be any podcast once the fly gets out my face. There won't be any podcast next week because we'll be in Portugal. So
we will.
We'll be keep an eye out on the socials.
Not lugging the mics halfway around the world again, like you made me to do nothing with.
Yeah, we'll. We'll be posting we'll be releasing the Hunter Mahan podcast. We've saved that one for the week that we're not doing a pod so we can keep it consistent. So keep a lookout. There will still be a release next Monday of a podcast. It'll be Hunter Mahan's professional route story. Really enjoyable pod, really, Kev. So we're looking forward to you listening to that one, and we'll get some short clips out onto the Instagram this week from this pod, and keep a lookout on the Instagram next week. We're putting loads on our story from our time over in Portugal. So
beware.
With that being said, we'll catch you in a couple of weeks' time, which will be Masters review.
Wow. Yeah, could well be the Masters, you know.
Could well be back for the Masters. So
that's Masters week, yeah?
Yeah, perfect timing.
Boom town.
So we'll be back to let you know all about Portugal and look forward to the first major of the year where we will be going live with the Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League. Testing's being received very well, hasn't it?
It has.
People are loving the game. It's a lot easier to play, a lot more interactive. So if you wanted to play it this year, you need to sign up through the Patreon website. You can access that through the link in our bio. But if you go on patreon.com, everyone knows that site now, it's quite popular. And on the search, just type in Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League. As soon as you type in Bogey Boys, it'll come up. And it's £4 a month, and you'll be entered into the monthly prize pool. For the top point scorer for the month will receive a cash prize, and then there'll be an overall cash prize, and then there'll be additional prizes for the majors, which we'll announce before everything goes live. So if you're interested, head over to the Patreon site and sign up there. And, you know, we've got a community centre in there where we'll be communicating with everybody, and, you know, just the community to everyone to have a bit of fun with the golf, isn't it? Share your picks. And
that's it.
We'll be putting our expert selections. We're experts now, aren't we? Kev's had the winner. I've had a place. More to come. Hopefully we can do it again this week. But all left to say now is enjoy the podcast, and we'll catch you all soon.
Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.